Verse 12 says this, "Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come." And if you'll read that whole scripture passage, it is all about these servants. What are they doing with what God is giving them? My question to you this morning is, what are you doing with what God has given you? Are you using your gifts for the kingdom of God? Are you obeying the specific call of God on your life? Has God called you to pulpit ministry? Some of you, he has. But God has called some of you to be a witness in the marketplace. God has called some of you to be a witness on your job, your career, wherever it is. God has called you to represent him wholly and wholeheartedly. What are we doing in the meantime, right? Listen, every one of us, every individual in this house this morning, we all have a job to do. We have a job to do before Jesus comes back, before Jesus comes back again. Now, when we talk about the second coming of the Lord, I want us to understand we don't need to focus so much on the when, but we need to focus on our response to his second coming, to the return of Jesus Christ. And what bothers me sometimes is that the emphasis of the second coming teaching is that it can distract us from the business that God wants us to do. Now, what does God mean when he says, do business till I come? This is what he means. He wants you to witness. What's another way? Serving. What's another way? Giving. Living holy before God. All these Christian virtues and all these things that God wants us to do, he says, do business till I come again, right? So look at your neighbor and say, do business till I come, right? Jesus is asking us to be active in the kingdom of God. Jesus is asking us to go forward in the kingdom of the Lord. Now, don't get sidetracked. Tell your neighbor this too. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the signs of the end times. And how many knows? I believe that we're living in the last days in the end times. And so I just want to read a few scripture verses here, and then we're going to get into the meat of the word, and we're going to have some application, and we're going to listen to what God has to say to us. Amen? So Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. It says this, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." We have people today that say they are the Christ. And I just want to tell you, in every generation this has happened. If you're reading the Old Testament, there was people claiming to be the Messiah. Or right when the New Testament began, there were people claiming to be the Messiah then. So it's happened in every generation. Verse 6, and it says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, that's always been going on, hasn't it? "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, I want you to notice, everybody say the end. Notice how many times Jesus says the end in this scripture passage, all right? Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." All these have happened in every generation, but there's an increase of this happening now, these days. Let's read on. Verse 8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended." How many knows that's going on a lot today? Now, that's a sign of the end times. "Many will be offended." I see that a lot. "Will betray one another and will hate one another." It's very sad. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." And here's the last verse I'm going to read in this scripture passage. Verse 14, "And the gospel and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end." Everybody say the end. Everybody say the end. "Then the end will come." Now, there has been some people when they would try to predict when Jesus would come again, and they would just quit everything. They just quit their job, quit everything. Jesus coming back again, and you know what they were doing? They just stopped. They weren't doing business. Y'all with me? They weren't occupying. And what happened was, and I'll give you some examples of that here in just a few minutes. And I remember when I first started preaching, I would argue about are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, are you pre-millennial, are you post-millennial, are you amillennial? I could go on, but you get the point. All these different views, and now if we're not careful, we can get caught up and be divided in the body of Christ on when the Lord comes back again. But we don't really need to divide. Listen, I've got friends who are post-millennial. I got friends who are not. Let me explain to you what pre-trib, and this is not what I'm preaching on, but these different, let me just say this morning, they're just different views of the end times, all right? And so we don't need to get caught up in disagreement and destruction and division on when or how the sequence is going to happen. We need to be focused on this. Y'all see that? We need to be focused on the gospel. We need to be focused on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've seen this, and I've grew up in church, so I've seen it a lot. Man, people would just be arguing and dividing. One of the first questions was, are you pre-trib or mid-trib? And man, let me tell you something. They'd just divide, and they would divide over doctrine instead of unite in love. And so the church has missed it a lot of times by dividing themselves with doctrine and teaching when we should come together and say, you know what, brother, sister, we disagree just a little bit, but our commonality is that Jesus is coming again. And he is coming back after a church that's made themselves ready. Amen. 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 So everyone, they've tried to identify who the Antichrist is. And it's a distraction. Henry Kissinger, they said that they tried to identify him as the Antichrist. And one of the presidents, I won't go into that, okay? tried to identify who is the Antichrist. They are the Pope and so forth. But guys, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in speculative prophecy instead of the sure word of prophecy. So a lot of times we can speculate and try to guess at things and try to figure out when the Lord is coming again and try to figure out who the Antichrist is and try to figure these things out. But God has not called us to try to figure out who's the Antichrist or if we're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Listen, if you're saved, you're going whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. Amen. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're going with him. Amen, church. So we don't need to get so distracted over the sequence or the when of Jesus' coming. We just need to be excited that we entered the kingdom through the cross of Jesus Christ and that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And thank God, if it's post-millennial or pre-millennial, I'm going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the Lord, and to meet them in the air with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's what God has called us to do. We need to focus on the primary. Keep the main thing the main thing. And that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Right, we don't need to get into speculation. We don't need to get into conspiracy. Can I get an amen this morning? And it's so easy to get caught up in all these conspiracies and what if this happens or what if that happens. Let's base our doctrine and theology on the sure word of prophecy instead of trying to guess at things and trying to guess who. We just need to serve God and preach the gospel. There are people who are lost, and those lost people, they probably don't even know what you're talking about when you say Antichrist. They don't even know what you're talking about when you say pre-trib, amillennial. Could you imagine witnessing to someone who doesn't know Jesus and saying, you ask them, are you amillennial or post-millennial? Huh? Right? So, guys, we've got to understand. Listen, I love to study the Word of God, and I love theology, and I love to get in the Word of God and study the deep things of God. But, guys, let's not get too deep that we forget the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we need to preach Jesus, that He heals, saves, and delivers. Amen. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the enemy, you know what? The enemy wants us to get distracted over that, over different doctrine, over different denomination, right? He wants us to get distracted and sidetracked. But God is saying, Jesus is telling us, listen, just serve me, give to the kingdom, preach the gospel, and don't get so caught up in arguments that won't save anyone. Amen, church. Hallelujah. How many remembers 88 reasons Jesus will come back in 1988? How many remembers that one? Right? Everybody's trying to speculate, right? Speculate on when the Lord is coming again. But Jesus said only the Father knows. Only the Father knows when He's coming back again, right? And so let's read it. Let me just read you that verse. I believe it's in this same chapter. Yeah, let's read that verse. Verse 36 in that same chapter. And it says, but of that day and hour, and I think most of us know this verse, but of that day and hour, no one knows. All right? So don't come to me and say, hey, I know when the Lord is coming back again, because I'm just going to point you to this verse every time. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen? So, guys, let's stick to the main thing. Let's preach Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and what He will do for us. All right. The enemy. Everybody say the enemy. The enemy will do anything to keep us from doing the one thing that will bring the coming of the Lord. One thing. Go back to verse 14. The enemy will keep us, if he can get us arguing and divided, this is what will bring the coming of the Lord. When the gospel is preached in all the world, then the end will come. Then the end will come, right? That's what we need to focus on. This is why missions and evangelism is so important and so crucial to the coming of the Lord. Amen? I want to give you some facts about the second coming of the Lord. Can I give those to you this morning? Amen. Here's some truths about the second coming of the Lord. And I'm just going to go through these, and if you want some of these notes that I wrote down, I will send them to you. And the first truth about the second coming of Jesus: Jesus Himself will come again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Jesus Himself will receive us. We will meet Him in the air. He will minister to those who are watchful. Luke 12:37. He will return to earth, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He will return to the Mount of Olives. That's mentioned in Zechariah 14. He will return in flaming fire and vengeance to those who do not know Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. So my message to you after that verse is, just get saved, and you won't have to go through that. He will come with power and great glory. He will stand on the earth. He will destroy the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He will sit on the throne of His glory. He will be given the throne of David. He will be given the nations, Psalms 2:8. He will gather all nations and judge them. He will reign on the earth. He will be given the kingdoms of this world, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. He will be given dominion. All who are in the graves will hear His voice. Hallelujah. Every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Every knee will bow. Isaiah 45. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. These are some truths about the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? Now, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I give you some truths about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to give you a truth this morning that's really going to open your eyes up. Some of you may not know this, but this is the truth. Now, this is the last truth I'm going to give you about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make a bold statement, okay? You can speed up the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I've never heard that before. But let me just show you, okay? Let me just show you. I'm going to turn over there because it ain't on the screen yet. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And it says, looking for and hastening. Everybody say hastening. The coming of the day of God. That's the second coming. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I looked up different translations of that, and one translation says, looking for and speeding up the coming of the day of God. The Greek word for hastening here, and the New Testament was written in the original Greek, the Greek word is spoedo, which means to hurry things along. This is how we could read it. We're looking for and hurrying things along of the coming of the day of God, the second coming of Jesus. What did we read in Matthew 24, 14? What did we read? And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. And here we are, we're arguing, we're fighting over, when is he coming back again? And I believe he's going, and we don't realize that the gospel must be preached in all the world, every nation, and there are areas now in the world where the gospel hasn't been preached. But God is calling the church to rise up. This is why missions is so important. This is why handing out water at UT Stadium is so important. This is why it's so important for us to go out into the community, preach the gospel. We're not, listen, you can actually hasten the second coming of the Lord. You can hasten. You can speed things along. Well, how do you do that? You preach the gospel. You preach the gospel. Listen, you have a lot of people that will say things about the second coming of Christ. They'll say a lot of things. There's all kinds of websites about the second coming of Christ on when he is coming again. Now look, he may not come back for another 100 years. Y'all with me? Right? But we need to live as though he's coming back today. Right? Prepare. We need to prepare as though the Lord may not come back for another 100 years, but we need to live as though he's coming back today. Or even tomorrow. So here's my message to you this morning. You want to see the Lord come back again. I hear this. Man, I wish the Lord would come back again. And I've heard you say it before. Man, I just want the Lord to come back again. I'm tired of this place. Are you preaching the gospel? Are you even... You say, well, that's up to the pastor. No, it's not. We call it the priesthood of believers. Nobody intercedes. Jesus is your intercessor. Everyone is called to witness. Everyone is called to evangelize. Well, Pastor, I'm an introvert. It doesn't mean that God hasn't called you. Pastor, I'm not real good with people. I'm not good at this. Listen, if you don't use that excuse when you stand before him, okay? God has called every believer, every Christian to be a missionary. God has called every believer, every Christian to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's my question to you. Are you doing the Lord's business? Or are you meddling in other people's business? Are you more concerned about what's going on in other people's lives? Or are you really concerned about people getting saved and brought into the kingdom of God? Right? Are we really, listen, there's just some things, and listen, are we gossiping about people? Are we talking about people? Are we living, have we evaluated our Christianity? Have we evaluated our relationship with God? Are we treating people right? Are we speaking the right things? What are we putting in front of our eyes? Guys, it is time that we step up and stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to be about my own business, and I'm surely not going to meddle in other people's affairs. I am going to do the business of the Lord. I'm going to witness. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to do the things that God has called me to do because he's coming back again, and one day I'm going to stand before him, and I'll have to answer to him. Right, you'll either be a reflection of God or you'll be a shadow of this world. Let me say that again. You'll either be a reflection of God or you'll be a shadow of this world. And I don't know about you, but I want to reflect God. I want to reflect his kindness and I want to reflect his love. And I want to reflect his grace and mercy. And God has called us to focus on him. Right? And there's nothing more. Can I preach? Can I preach this morning? And there's nothing more that aggravates me than to see Christians and believers argue over the timing of the Lord's return or just little things, minor things, and we never witness, and we never evangelize, and we never tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. But we're cooped up. Let me say it like that. We're cooped up in the four walls of this of the church, and God says, why do you keep telling people to come and see when you're not going and telling? And God says, if you're going to be an effective church, and if you're going to be an effective Christian, you must be willing to go and tell these people about the coming of the Lord and about the consequence of rejecting Jesus Christ, right? See, Jesus is coming again, but we have a job to do while we wait for His return. Are you doing the business of the Lord? Are you occupying till He comes again? Focus on the job at hand. Don't argue. Don't get caught up in silly things. How many have seen very silly things that people argue over in life? Very silly stuff. Let me say, I just got something to tell you. I don't have time to argue over little silly things. I've got to go on. I've got work to do. Let me say it like this. We've got a work to do. Right? And so, guys, we've got to live to the point of, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up in the drama in this world. I'm not going to invite unnecessary troubles in my life by disobeying God. I'm not going to disobey God. Listen, all of us, we tell the Lord, don't we? We tell the Lord, Lord, why are you letting me go through this trouble? And why are you putting this trouble on my life? Well, let me tell you something. A lot of times, you're the one that invited the trouble in your life in the first place. So you can't just blame God and put your fist toward God and say, God, you did this to me, and God, you did that to me. Listen, there's a lot of trouble in our life. We say, Lord, why is this trouble in my life? Now, don't get me wrong. We get troubles in our life that are uninvited. Can I get an amen, believers? We call that persecution. But there's a lot of trouble that I see, and I do see it. But there's a lot of trouble I see. I say, that's not really persecution. You actually brought that on yourself. Right? And so, guys, we've got to get to the point of, Lord, give me wisdom so I don't make dumb decisions, so I can have wisdom and revelation in my life and start taking responsibility for my actions. Because I'm going to have to stand before God one day. And Jesus is coming back again. And listen, I don't want to stand before God. And God says, why didn't you got saved, but you never went out and told anybody. You never went out and told anybody about my good news, about what I did, about how I sent my son to save you, about how I did this. Guys, do not live your life. Don't just coast through life. Don't just, you know how we do sometimes? I'm just waiting for the bus. I'm just waiting, right? Guys, let's not get into that kind of mentality. I'm just kind of coasting through. You know what else we call that? We call it going through the motions. We just kind of go through the motions, and I'm just going to coast through, and I'm just going to wait for the bus. No, God has called you to stand up for truth, to be a voice of truth in this church, in this community, in this nation. Let me say it like this: globally, internationally, in this world, God has called you to stand up for truth. Are you doing the work of the Lord? Pastor, is it possible to be saved and not do the work of the Lord? Let me answer that for you. Yes, it is possible. There are people today, and I'm not talking about this church, but in churches all over, in this nation, or all over the world, right? We're just cruising, waiting for the bus. I'm saved, and that's all I want. Well, don't you want other people to be saved? Well, don't you want to see other people get right with God? Why don't you want to see someone else experience what you've experienced? Listen, if God saved you from hell, wouldn't you want somebody else to be saved from hell too? And you know what? When you get saved, you have a job to do. Right? And so God has not called us to just say, okay, I'm just going to sit back, I'm saved, praise God, I just barely got by. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, I would really evaluate whether or not I was saved. Because listen, when you are truly saved, when you have Jesus in your heart, man, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't care what people say. I'm going to pray over my food right now. I don't care who's looking. I'm going to pray over my food. Right? We need to be able to live for God, that when people see us, we don't even have to tell them we're Christians. They just know. They just know we're Christians. They just know we're believers. And they say, well, I feel something real different. Yeah, it's not the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of the Lord. I just feel something different when I'm around you. I just feel something different when I'm talking to you and when I hang out with you. Let me tell you why it's different. It's because you got the Holy Spirit living in you and you're doing the business of God. You're serving, you're witnessing, you're giving, and you're not just waiting for the bus to come. Right? Listen, I'm waiting for the bus, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be hollering, hey, the bus is coming! Catch the bus! Jesus is coming again! And we're going to keep preaching till we take our last breath. Until we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep preaching, keep praying, keep singing, and the devil's like, I can't shut them up, because we found out one key, and the key is preach the gospel in the kingdom of this world, and then the end will come. The end will come. You want the Lord to come back again? Start preaching and stop complaining. You want the Lord to come back again? Stop gossiping and start preaching the word of Jesus Christ, which is able to save and to heal. I don't have time to talk about my brother. I don't have time to talk about my sister. We've got to stand on the word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to love you. I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to push you into your purpose that God has for you. Amen, church. Will push you to your purpose. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to lift you up. Amen, church. Amen. Hallelujah. See, there's people here today, we're not perfect, right? We're not perfect. And sometimes we make mistakes, we do things, but you know what we do? We pick each other up, right? Don't let me see you kick somebody while they're down. Because the shepherd will rise up in me. What are you doing? You know better than that. Right? Pastor, they just keep on sinning, but yet they keep on coming to church. Well, at least they're getting the word of God. Pastor, you know what kind of life they live. They come in. You know what they're doing? They're doing this, 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 and this. Quit meddling in people's affairs. Pray for them, encourage them, lift them up in the Lord, and bless them, and tell them the truth. Say, yeah, it's wrong, but we're going to love you. We're not going to cut off connection with you. We'll tell you it's wrong, but we love you. And we're not going to be a snob and turn our noses and say, I ain't talking to you. That ain't holiness. That's legalism. That's the spirit of hell. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Right? And God has not called us to be snobs. Amen. Can I say that? It might not be politically correct. He hasn't called us to be snobs. He hasn't called us to get away from the sinners. He's called us to be in the midst of them and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? So God has called us, and I believe this year, we believe that souls are coming into the kingdom of God, and we're going to receive more, and there's going to be more baptisms today. We're going to dunk Chris under the water in the name of Jesus. Come on, microphone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're going to shout and praise God. We're going next door. We're going to make a big deal out of it. We're going to put it on the internet. Can we do that? And we're going to say, Chris is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Hallelujah. So don't get sidetracked. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Focus on the job at hand. What has God called you to do? Focus on it. Focus on it. Be a part of the Lord's business, right? Listen, God isn't looking. God gave this to me this morning when I was studying for this message. And he said, God isn't looking to see how successful you are, but how faithful you are. And there are some people today, and I've went through this, you haven't really, and let me tell you something, this is what the devil will tell you. You haven't really won many people to the Lord. You haven't really won that many people to the Lord. You haven't done this. And you know what? He'll get you thinking about yourself more than the goodness of God. But you must be faithful to what God has told you. And the people that you witnessed to, you planted the seed, but some guy down the road that's working construction, I don't know. It may be Rednecks for Jesus. It may be Brother John. It may be Sister Kathy. And you planted the seed of the Word of God in their life. And you say, man, why didn't they give their life to the Lord? But here comes John. He's driving on the road, driving on the street, and he brings somebody to the Lord. But somebody planted the seed first. If you get 1 to 5 people that tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus Christ in a week's time, listen, they're going to give. They're going to think, man, God is trying to tell me something. Right? And some of you, God may have just called you to be a planter. That's all probably God called you to be. Right? And you may win a few people to the Lord. But God may have just called you to be a planter, just to plant the seed. Hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, brother, it's good to see you. God loves you. Right? And now what you see with your eyes, you may say, man, what's going on? I'm not really seeing a lot of fruit. But there's a lot of things happening that you don't see. And you keep planting the Word of God, and you got to remember this, catch this, the Word of God will not return void. The Word of God will not return to you empty. Every time you show the love of God and every time you speak the Word of God, it will never be vain. It will never be useless. It will never be empty. It will always fulfill its purpose. So you keep telling the Word. I don't care if they tell you to shut up, get away from me, get out of my face. You keep telling the Word and showing the love of Jesus Christ. One day, that old calloused, cold heart's going to break down and the light of Jesus Christ is going to shine in because Christians didn't give up. Listen, it's not just me, but we're all working together and we're telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. So it ain't just up to me to tell somebody. It's up to me and you and everybody else to tell people about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. God never meant for it to be a Lone Ranger Christianity. He meant for us to work together in unity. Amen. Working together in unity. And I wrote this down this morning. Don't let the number of lost souls you haven't won keep you from witnessing to the lost souls that God has put in front of you. Don't you get discouraged. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. We're mission-minded people. Amen. We're always helping other people. You say, Pastor, I have a hard time being happy sometimes, or I have a hard time, I'm depressed and stuff. Listen, I've been through a lot of depression. And I think that's something that the enemy will try to bring on people, believers, try to depress them, try to discourage you, get you thinking about other things, distracted and not focusing on the job at hand, right? And he'll come and try to depress you. But let me tell you something. The way that you can defeat depression and discouragement in your life, number one, pray. Amen? Pray. Help somebody. Everybody say, serve. The way to get rid, y'all listening? Now, Jesus is the way. How many believes that? Jesus is the way. But depression and all this stuff is always focused on, the focus is always on you. But if you turn the perspective toward helping someone else, it takes the focus off you. Y'all with me? It takes the focus. And if you get the focus off of yourself, you feel a load lift off of you. I'm not victim anymore. Y'all with me? I'm not victim anymore. I feel a load coming off me. And when you start serving people and you start telling them about the love of Jesus Christ, or just show it, just show the love of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, you'll start to become more God-conscious than self-conscious. Y'all with me? Y'all receive that word? Because if the enemy can get you thinking about yourself all the time, he's done his job. You don't have to be thinking about something bad. A lot of times we think, well, if the devil's trying to hinder you, he's going to make you do something real bad. Now, he will. But a lot of times, he'll try to just get you thinking about yourself. And he'll get you thinking about yourself. You'll be so self-conscious. What do I look like? What are they going to think? What are they going to say about me? What are they going to do? What's that certain person going to do? And you become so self-conscious, you're just a mess. But when you start serving somebody else, and you start serving God, and you give of yourself, You give of yourself, your perspective and your life will start to change, because no longer will you be self-conscious, you'll be God-conscious. Amen? That's the way. That's the way to get rid of the depression, get rid of the anxiety. Can I preach that this morning? To get rid of all that, you got to get your focus off yourself and get it on God. Right? Where focus, let me say this, where focus goes, energy flows. Where focus goes, energy flows. If your focus is on helping other people, right? Watch the energy of God, the Spirit of God begin to move. Right? Because you're doing it in the name of the Lord. When I came in this morning, they told me I was gaining a little bit of weight. One of my friends did. They made me a little self-conscious, right? They said, look at him, he's getting... And they're friends, and we can just joke around. And he said, that's what being married does. He said, when you're married for a while, right? And I told him, I said, now I'm going to be self-conscious all day. And I won't be able to do anything for God because I'll be thinking about myself. Y'all with me this morning? So God has called us to give of ourselves. Give kindness. Give love. Bless people. Right? Because we care for them. And because we want to see the Lord come back. Because I don't know about you, man, but I get tired of seeing the suffering and the sickness. I do. I get tired of seeing all this stuff. Let's preach the gospel. Let's get some people saved. Put it on Facebook. Amen. You don't have to air your laundry on there. just put it on Facebook and say, God loves you. Come to my church. We love Jesus. We're not very religious either. Amen. God has called every one of us. I'm challenging you. The Holy Spirit is asking you this morning. Start witnessing. Start serving. Start giving. Now, when I say giving, I'm not just talking about, he's preaching about finances this morning. I'm talking about giving of your time. Your time, your energy, your sacrifice. You're giving to the kingdom of God. Are we doing that this morning? Do we have a desire to do that? Or are we just waiting for our ride to come, for the bus to come to us, right? Waiting on my call. Wait, I'm just going to wait here, Lord, and if I can just get in, that'll be all right. I want to bring somebody with me to heaven. I want to bring people with me to heaven, don't you? So this altar is open today. God is calling you. Don't get sidetracked. God may be dealing with your heart. God may be dealing with your soul. God may be dealing with your spirit.